Now from the KSFR newsroom at noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Wednesday, May 29th.
When the Santa Fe City Council meets this evening, the executive session will address formal approval of Brian K. Snyder as the new city manager. Robert Romero announced earlier this month he would be leaving the $130,000 a year post as of this Friday. Snyder has worked for the city since 2004 and has most recently been serving as the city's public utilities director. Also at tonight's meeting, there'll be further discussion of the proposed ordinance that would ban firearm ammunition magazines of more than 10 rounds within Santa Fe. Mexico is becoming an increasingly important trade partner with the state of New Mexico, but that could be curtailed by a trade dispute getting started on both sides of the border. The United States is proposing new rules that meat products carry labels specifying the country of origin. Mexico says it may impose retaliatory measures on trade between the two countries. New Mexico Voices for Children, an in-state family advocacy group, is today touting an analysis by Nobel Prize-winning economist James Heckman that New Mexico could save $38 million annually on incarceration costs and crime-related expenditures by boosting the high school graduation rate of male students by just 5%. Heckman, who teaches economics at the University of Chicago, said that if the same 5% also went to college at the same rate as their peers nationally, their cumulative income would be $20 million higher. Governor Susana Martinez has announced a $1 million investment by the nonprofit College Board that will more than double state spending on advanced placement programs for high school students in New Mexico. New data released by the College Board shows that only 40% of some 11,000 students in the class of 2012 actually took AP courses, placing New Mexico 36th in the nation. Whether Santa Fe gets a movie complex for the rail yard may depend on who pays for the parking for theatergoers. The nonprofit that operates the rail yard on the city's behalf has proposed that it offer free parking for the patrons, but keep records on the expenses and begin reimbursing the city 15 years from now. The City Council's Public Works Committee approved that proposal last night, but it may not get to a vote by the full City Council until the end of June. The Violet Crown Cinema of Austin, Texas, has signed a letter of intent to build an 11-screen movie complex, but says its schedule calls for having its plans approved by the city in early August. A man who says he was riding his bicycle through the busy St. Francis Cerritos intersection 2 years ago and was injured when the front wheel of his bike got caught in a groove is suing the city and state. According to today's New Mexican, Gregory Waits has filed in state district court for injuries to his face, head, and body, which occurred at the time of the accident. The city is continuing to move towards building a $3.5 million underpass at the intersection. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation is cautioning that the Colorado River Basin could be in serious water trouble by 2016, with shortages initially impacting Arizona and Nevada, but possibly later threatening New Mexico. Today's Albuquerque Journal says those impacts would be most severe for the San Juan River, whose waters are diverted to the Rio Grande for use by Santa Fe and Albuquerque. Water managers from western states are in San Diego this week for a conference on the declining Colorado water supplies. The move of the district courthouse from Catron Street to the new complex on Montezuma has gotten underway. The courts will be closed at the end of next week, reopening in the new space Monday, June 10th. The City of Santa Fe Water Conservation Office has launched a new user-friendly water conservation website to help customers preserve Santa Fe's limited water resources and save money on water bills. The new site is designed to provide tools, resources, and answer frequently asked questions. The new site can be found at www.savewatersantafe.com. The Santa Fe Outdoor Recreation section is offering 4 new classes starting in early June. Classes on basic and intermediate fitness hiking, beginning trail running, and power yoga in the park will run through the summer. The cost for each series of classes is $35. More information can be obtained from the Genoveva Chavez Community Center. On Friday, May 30th, members of the Jemez Pueblo Spark Program and their collaborative partners will celebrate their achievement in areas of early childhood development and language retention during a banquet at the Tamaya Resort at Santa Ana Pueblo. The SPARC program, which stands for Supporting Partnerships to Assure Ready Kids, began in 2010 with a grant from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation and has been administered through the New Mexico Community Foundation. The weather? It'll be windy today with a high temperature predicted in the upper 70s. Tonight's low should be near 50. Looking to the rest of the week, we should continue to see warm, breezy days with the highs ranging from the upper 70s to the low 80s. There is no precipitation in the forecast at this time. For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
And Dan Garrity back with you now at the KSFR News Desk as At Noon segues to today's feature stories. Santa Fe has a new fire chief in Eric Litzenberg. He replaces retiring Chief Barbara Salas in the top firefighting post, and he joins us now. Chief Litzenberg, I understand you're a native of Santa Fe.
That's correct. I did all my schooling, with the exception of college, here in the beautiful city of Santa Fe. I went to high school at Santa Fe Prep. College, I went to University of Colorado for my bachelor's degree, and then I got a master's at University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. And I'm about to complete PhD in sports administration, also at University of New Mexico in Albuquerque.
Why have you chosen sports administration for your doctorate?
You know, it's sort of a 1-2 punch. Part of it is I've always been interested in sports. My undergraduate degree was in kinesiology, so the study of the human body and how it functions and how it performs. And I was involved in sports in my college career. But the second part of the punch is I've always been interested in the concept that firefighters are professional athletes and that we're asked to perform at the same level as many professional athletes are, yet I don't know that we've ever really studied firefighters in that aspect. So my dissertation, the research I'm doing, is about the performance of firefighters and how we can affect changes to health, overall health, retirement, age to death, age post-retirement, and ultimately make better lives for firefighters, just as we've done for professional athletes over the years.
And you've already served in the department for several years, have you not?
Well, my career with the City of Santa Fe Fire Department started in 1997. Started just like everybody else in a 16-week academy and became a firefighter, was proud to do so. I went to paramedic school through the city in 1999, became a paramedic in 2000. And I was a paramedic until I became a captain and subsequently battalion chief and assistant chief. And I've been assistant chief the last 4 years working for Barbara Salas. It's been a great career. This is a great city to work in. It's a great city to work for. And this fire department, I say it to many people, it's a world-class fire department. And I'm really proud to have been part of it. I'm even more proud now to be asked to lead it because I'm just so impressed with our people. Been a great career for me, and in the future years, I look forward to making it a great career for a bunch of other people as well.
What, if any, major challenges do you see ahead for the fire department?
Well, I think our primary challenge as we move on is funding. Seems like during this recession, as our taxes have fluctuated, it's been real hard for us to stay consistent in some of the programs we offer. We have seen a trend in the last few months or year of some of our firefighter-level people seeking employment elsewhere because I think they look and see that the grass might seem greener. I'm not necessarily sure it is, but when we have unstable funding, I think it's easier to think that way. So one of our challenges is stabilizing how we get revenues and making sure we can appropriately pay people, especially as we try to get people to live in Santa Fe, pay them appropriately. Another challenge is we are a changing business, and I think we've been very good at evolving with the times, but it's always a challenge to stay modern and make sure that we're doing the programs that the community expects of us, we're in and around our community like we should be, we're appropriately educating people on fire and health issues, and I think one of the main ways we're going to really hit that challenge head on is trying to establish a much better injury prevention education program, in addition to our already established fire prevention program.
And we're in a third year of drought. Do you see that impacting the department?
You know, it probably does affect our day-to-day operations in that we go to more smaller fires, and the community is a little bit more tuned into the issues. So when they see smoke, they're quicker to call us, which is great. So it changes our day-to-day operations in that aspect. On a bigger programmatic scale, we've been changing over the last few years and evolving our wildland-urban interface program and hiring a seasonal hand crew and hiring another wildland specialist. And that's really to tackle that program head-on. We've made strides over the last 5 years in how we deal with our wildland-urban interface and how we make our residents and the homes within our response area safer. And I'm really proud of that program. But certainly it, too, will evolve over the next few years to be more responsive to that changing environment because of the drought, among other things.
Is there any danger of, say, actually running out of water to use on fires?
I hope we'll always have enough water to put out a fire. If not, we're pretty good at change, and we'll figure out a way to put out fires without water, I promise you.
Do you have any other plans for the department at this time?
I think we're on a good path. I think we've done some great stuff throughout time, and in particular in the last few years under the leadership of Chief Dulles. One of the things that she was really big into was community involvement, and I certainly plan to increase our community involvement to really get us to internalize that mission. We love being out and about. We love educating. We love being in the schools. We love being in the senior centers, and I think we can only get better at that. I do think we need to keep improving our wildland-urban interface program. Again, it was a program that was well supported by the previous two administrations, and I know it's very well supported by me, and I think it's going to grow over the next few years in response to the changes in the environment that you talked about, and plain and simply because the community they desire us to have a good program in that aspect, so we'll improve that. I think internally we can certainly improve efficiencies. We can keep accepting the different roles like we have over the years with emergency medical services, with hazardous materials, and now with the wildland urban interface. There's a lot of ways that we can change and evolve, and I think most of it is just improving upon what we do now, and we'll absolutely be doing that.
And anything else you'd like to add?
You know, I really want everyone to know how proud I am to accept this position and how proud I am to be part of the team of the City of Santa Fe and the City of Santa Fe Fire Department. I mean it when I say we're world class. I'm really proud of us, and I think our community should be really proud of us. And, man, I know our firefighters, medics, captains, all our employees would love to get that pat on the back when they're in and around the community.
Santa Fe Fire Chief Eric Litzenberg, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
Support comes from Naropa University, with degrees in the expressive arts including art therapy, dance therapy, body psychotherapy, wilderness therapy, and more. Learn more online at naropa.edu.
Explore a variety of new homes and renovations that encourage energy saving and sustainability in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and Taos on the 14th annual self-guided Green Built Tour. One weekend only, Saturday and Sunday, June 8th and 9th from 10 to 4. To learn more, visit usgbcnm.org. Tour guidebooks are available at Whole Foods, La Montanita Co-op, and Bookworks. A message from the tax-exempt U.S. Green Building Council, New Mexico Chapter.
20 minutes past the hour as At Noon on KSFR continues. A new treatment for cancer has been discovered in an unusual place. KSFR news reporter Charles Maynard is back with us now and brings us the story.
A new substance that might treat and prevent some cancers caused by tobacco use has been found. The research group which did the study is not exactly who you'd expect. They weren't from a major medical center or other university group. This breakthrough has been described by a group of students at Taos High School. They were competing in the science fair at the school and have been selected as regional winners. Priscilla Martinez is one of the students.
So with our project, we were testing to see if Cota, the natural herb that we were using, could reduce and prevent the tumor formation caused in earthworms, which was caused by tobacco use. What we did was we equally divided cups and had soil in them and had an equal amount of worms in each. And throughout that, we had two cups which had tobacco first, and the other two had solution first to see if it would prevent and reduce it. After 24 to 48 hours, we noticed that there was already severe tumor growth. So with cups A and B, we removed the tobacco and added the herb to see if it would reduce the damage. And with cups C's and D, we added tobacco to see if the Kota would prevent it. Kota, it's a herb which is a medicinal herb which it's already known to use for mouth sores, toothaches, stomach, kidney, liver, and cleaning the blood already. Me being Native American, we use it a lot in our daily lives just as tea. And like anytime we get an upset stomach or anything, my mom would always give us that. And then I have an uncle who refuses to stop. And so there I wanted to see if that could help anything with the growth of tumors that the tobacco can cause.
Those worms exposed to tobacco showed growth of tumors in a specific area.
It was around the white band around the worm. It's like on the worm, it's right above the head. It blocks off all the main organs of the worms. So from the white band upwards is about an inch, which is where all the vital organs are, and all the tumors took place there.
Those also given Kota, who had developed tumors already, were found to have some healing from the herb. It also appeared to be protective when given to the worms prior to the administration of tobacco. Kota is found in numerous places in New Mexico.
It is really effective, and it's found on mountainsides, on the side of the road, wherever it's kind of dry, but not really dry. It doesn't like to be really wet areas. It comes from the dandelion family.
Following high school, Priscilla hopes to go to college and become a pilot. Along with her two fellow researchers, have received a week-long all-expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C. in June to compete in the national competition. For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
Martin Markinson, in association with the Lenzig, proudly presents Hirschfelder in Maestro, The Art of Leonard Bernstein, May 31st through June 2nd. The great composer, conductor, and pianist comes to life on the Lenzig stage as Hirschfelder combines first-person narrative with the music of Bernstein and those who inspired him. Don't miss Maestro, The Art of Leonard Bernstein, Friday, May 31st through Sunday, June 2nd. For tickets, call 988-1234 or visit TicketsSantaFe.org. The Lenzig is a nonprofit, member-supported organization.
The Santa Fe Art Institute is pleased to present Cavities and Clumps, The Psychology and Physicality of Contested Space, a lecture and exhibition by sculptor Martha Russo as part of their 2013-2014 season of programming, Contest Space. Russo's work speaks psychologically and physically about the interior of the body and the space that surrounds it. The lecture and exhibition opening take place on June 3rd at 6 p.m. at SFAI. To learn more, visit sfai.org. A message from the tax-exempt Santa Fe Art Institute.
66 degrees under partly cloudy skies in Santa Fe at 12:24. Today through Friday, most of the state will experience critical fire conditions. Red flag warnings are posted. And to tell us more about this, we're joined now by meteorologist Brent Wachter with the National Weather Service office in Albuquerque. Brent, tell us what's going on.
We have a setup for the next, actually through Friday, where we're looking at some pretty gusty winds, especially during the afternoon. Gusts as high as 40 miles an hour, perhaps as high as 45, and we're also going to combine that with pretty low humidity. We've had very low humidity the past few days. That continues with some upper single digits in mid-teens during the afternoon period. And, it's just shaping up to be a pretty windy and low humidity period.
Do you think those stronger winds will be felt here in the Santa Fe area as well?
Yes. And that's those wind speeds that I was mentioning could get as high as 40 to 45 miles an hour during the peak period this afternoon. They'll be right around that level, I think, tomorrow, anywhere from 35 to 40 miles an hour, and that's just going to continue into Friday, and that's gust speeds.
Then by late in the weekend, we have a shot at perhaps some precipitation?
Yeah. In fact, we are looking at a signature with a ridge building overhead over New Mexico that we would start to tap some moisture, especially from the Gulf. You come up along Sierra Madre in Mexico. We could see some backdoor fronts in the northeast. And any way you look at it, we are looking at an increase in humidity, an increase in chances for showers and storms. However, that poses a problem as well, and that would be the possibility of drier storms and lightning fire starts.
Brent, here at the end of May, we're still some 6 weeks or so from the typical summer monsoon season. This week has seen some tropical storm development in the eastern Pacific. Is that a good harbinger of the things you look for as a monsoon slowly puts itself together?
Well, I do know that the Weather Service came out saying that it was going to be a more active tropical season this year. Based on what's going on over in Africa, based on sea surface temperatures being a little bit warmer, and also because of the lack of El Nino. So they're looking at above normal season for tropical disturbances. The other thing is we're looking at, we're already seeing moisture pooling up in South Texas. We've already had the dry line enter the state. So, you know, we already have moisture that's starting to kind of pool up, and this is what we would typically see this time of year.
So then that forecast of increased tropical activity could be a good sign as we hope for some much-needed summer rain here?
Yeah, I think so. I think if depending on where your sea surface temperature anomalies are, where they're warmer than normal, especially if it's over the Gulf of Mexico, a part of our monsoon is fed from the Gulf of Mexico. There's a few different moisture sources related to that, but the Gulf of Mexico is certainly one of the primary drivers. And if we're having warmer temperatures there, that stands to reason that's going to warm and provide more moisture to the near-surface portions of the atmosphere, which means it could flow up into New Mexico as we get in the monsoon season. So that's certainly part of it. People are looking back and looking at years of having, you know, we haven't had the greatest monsoons the past couple of years, and there's anecdotal evidence that would suggest that this monsoon, just for the lack of what's compared to the previous monsoon, should be at least average, if not above average, in certain areas. But we're still a little too early to have a lot of confidence in that, just looking at past years. And you usually don't see three bad years in a row. I'm sure it's happened in history, but the chances of us getting a little better monsoon are a little better now this year.
Brent Wachter with the National Weather Service in Albuquerque, many thanks for joining us here at noon. 12:29 here at KSFR. As we approach the bottom of the hour, it's our custom to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I was watching the movie Jack Reacher on DVD. That's with Tom Cruise as the legendary character Tough Guy. At one point, Tom Cruise's character steals an old Camaro. I used to own one of those, not as old as the one Cruise stole, but old. For whatever reason, I flash back to a Halloween a long, long time ago in a land far, far away, the land my hometown of Anoka, Minnesota. The time I was in grade school, and Anoka was the self-designated Halloween capital of the world. Since my family didn't have extra money to buy costumes for Halloween, my mother made our costumes. The Halloween I flash back to was the year my mother made a costume for me dressed as Tom Sawyer. Or was it Huckleberry Finn? I don't know. I get them all confused. It's an adventure. I do remember she made a Pocahontas costume for my sister. My sister looked very authentic, other than being Anglo. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And taking a look at financial news at midday, the European Commission has said it will allow some EU member states to slow their pace of austerity cuts amid concerns over growth. France, Spain, Poland, Portugal, the Netherlands, and Slovenia are all being given more time to complete their austerity plans. France will get two more years to bring its budget deficit below 3% of gross domestic product. And here on Wall Street, some buyer fatigue seems to be impacting it today as all major indices are in negative territory. Taking a look at the big board, The Dow is off 85 points at 15,324. The Nasdaq off 13 at 3,475. And the S&P 500 off 8. It stands at 1,651.
And with that, we conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleague today, Charles Maynard. We'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow, and as always, we hope you join us.